The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning to you, live from Helsinki, doing the Israel Report in South Africa. I mean, talk about being international.
So what is happening in Helsinki?
Well, we have Limud Helsinki this weekend. And I'm going to give three lectures on Sunday, no pressure. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really fascinating and super to be here.
All right, that is absolutely awesome. Just so we know, it is the middle of summer there. So that means not much nighttime, is there?
Well, it's about 15 degrees, and Dafka, leave it to me to come here at a time where the sun sets at 10 p.m. and rises at 4 a.m. I'm so disorientated. I feel like I've done half a day's work already. And, you know, you talk about Eurovision. There's Eurovision fever here. And, I mean, can you imagine the Jewish guilt for poor Michael with Israel? He failed to qualify us. But here, Eurovision fever has struck the fan. And I can actually see why they've earned the title World's Happiest Country.
That is really great. Okay, so Rolene, let's just talk about the big story of the week. Of course, has been the journalist, the Al Jazeera journalist, who was killed in a gunfight of some sort. Narrative set, everybody deciding on the way this is going, even before any investigation was undertaken. What is the current situation now?
The current situation as it stands is that the Palestinian coroner has said it's very, very difficult to determine right now who is responsible. And the Palestinian Authority is refusing to cooperate in an investigation. They want to take this to the ICC, which tells me a lot of things. It tells me that they are covering up for something and they could possibly be using this to politically grandstand at the ICC. However, we still don't know who is responsible, and reflexively blaming Israel is extremely, extremely dangerous and irresponsible. I mean, we've heard from some of the world's greatest experts, Susan Sarandon and Bella Hadid, already on this, using terms like assassination. But the reality is we don't know. And if Israel is responsible, we will take the necessary steps as is per our democracy and as is per our military advocates general to bring those responsible under questioning. However, if the Palestinian Authority or the Palestinians are responsible for this, I wonder what we can expect from that side.
The fascinating thing is that it's probably more likely than anything that no one is responsible. In other words, obviously there's a bullet that killed her, but she was in a war zone. She was well aware of the situation that she was going to. She wasn't caught as a simple bystander. She chose to be there. And obviously the press need to be protected, and it's a very important aspect of any war. But surely it's part of the deal that one makes with oneself if you're going into a situation like that. And surely that actually, tragically for her and for her family, obviously, that's closer to the truth than anything else is.
Well, that's exactly that. You know, when war journalists go into a combat zone or wartime situation, they are clearly marked with a protective vest that says press, and Shirin was no exception. There is no way that Israel wants to assassinate or execute members of the press. We are a democracy. We have an extremely high ranking with Freedom House on the openness of our press. What I do find really, really extraordinary is that this year we have lost 50 journalists in a combat situation, at least 19 of them in Ukraine. And yet it is only in this particular conflict where a journalist who regrettably has lost her life, and unfortunately this is the risk that war journalists have to take on when you go into a combat situation. It is getting so much coverage. And I tend to agree with you. What we do know for sure is that there were heavy clashes. This took place in Jenin, a town in the West Bank that the Palestinian Authority themselves have lost control over, the mayor has lost control over. We know with this two-month-long wave of terror that at least three of the attacks were planned or came from Jenin. We know it's a hotbed of incitement and violence. And unfortunately, she was really, really in the middle of a very, very difficult, dangerous situation, and has paid with her life. And, you know, right now, Israel, the IDF have opened their investigation. We are requesting the bulletin that we can do ballistic tests. Abbas is refusing. He says he doesn't trust the Israelis. And my advice to them is, if you don't trust the Israelis and you don't want to cooperate, why not get a third party in? Let them carry out the investigation, and then we can have some kind of conclusive results.
Of course, there's been a lot of grandstanding, as you've mentioned, by celebrities. We've seen American politicians very, very quick to label the Israelis as murderers. We've seen here in South Africa, Durko, the ANC, coming out very, very quickly with a statement. Silent, of course, on anything that is happening in Ukraine, where journalists are killed, as you said, 19 journalists in the South African government. Durko remaining stubbornly silent there. But in this situation, very, very quick to stand up and make their point known. I just keep wondering, will the penny drop at any time for people around the world to say, hold on a minute, why is there this hypocrisy? And my concern is that the penny won't drop, because when I was looking at some of the comments here in South Africa, because of the fact that the terrorism and the attack on Israelis over the last couple of months has not been reported, the press is very silent in that regard. This just looks like another story where Israel assassinates a journalist, because there's no context that people have been given. And that's a concern. What do you think?
Well, that raises a very, very important question. And I think as media consumers, we have to put the pressure on media platforms and providers to give you the whole story, to provide context, because the episodes like this don't happen in a vacuum. One thing I will say, we have seen members of the American government, with the exception of Ms. Tlaib, who I don't think has realized that she actually is a member of the American Congress and not the Palestinian Authority, and even the Muslim world, quick to condemn the shooting, but are very cautious to blame Israel. I think because of the way that this conflict is covered, especially in South Africa, which has an extremely hostile government and hostile media to Israel, there is the propensity to reflexively blame Israel. You can almost feel the salivating coming from various entities as they rush to apportion blame. And, you know, again, this describes the whole conflict basically in a nutshell. Context doesn't count, nuance doesn't count, the macro situation is not explained, Israel's side is not explained, but as soon as there is an opportunity to apportion blame, that happens. You know, it doesn't help when you've got supermodel / astronaut / Middle Eastern expert Bella Hadid telling her 45 million followers that this was an assassination by the Israeli government, or once relevant actress who I haven't seen in a while, Susan Sarandon, maybe trying to revive her career, saying that Israeli snipers executed her. I don't know how it was. Susan Sarandon there? Is she a ballistics expert now, coroner? Who knows? But there is this quick rush to judgment, and the problem is the amount of people who are reading these comments.
Absolutely right. Yair says, I would have thought this was the first journalist to be killed in conflict. I never even knew that another 19 were killed in Ukraine. And that's exactly it. And Yair, I'm assuming that you're somebody that follows the news and actually does take an interest in this. And yet, this is the problem, is that we are not being shown things in any context, which means that it is a huge problem. Yossi says, Boker Tov, yes, agreed, she's collateral of war. However, the idea IDF chief has rightly pointed out that while IDF were shooting with precision, the terrorists were reportedly shooting wildly with Kalashnikovs. Look, we don't know. That's the bottom line, is we don't know. Anybody that stands up immediately, like the Americans and obviously like those who hate Israel, the Durko, for example, and put the blame fairly squarely at Israel's door, is being extremely, extremely irresponsible. The other stories coming out of Israel, and this is quite a big one for tourists and anyone visiting Israel, is that flight mask mandate seems to be dropped.
Yes, this is going to be a good week for all of you who are heading towards Israel. We'll be dropping the mask mandate in flight, a very, very good thing, especially on a long-haul flight from South Africa to Israel. And as of the 20th, which I think is next Friday, there will be no need to do your PCR tests on arrival. Now, I wish they had put it on Monday, Howard, because now I have to go myself and do a PCR test on arrival, which is the last thing I feel like doing when I arrive home at midnight. But it certainly does make much easier for tourists and travelers coming into Israel next week.
Why would they drop it on the 20th? I mean, if you're going to drop it, you know, what happens on the 19th if somebody has a test and it's positive? You know, on the 20th, if they came in, nobody would have known better. It just doesn't really make sense. Why would they have made this so far in advance? And do we know, have they said when the flight mask mandate is dropping, or is that effective immediately?
I think it'll probably be effective relatively immediately. Mm. I flew Finnair here to Finland, and no masks were needed. No masks were needed indoors at the airport, and that's the EU standard at the moment. So Israel is following that example, and hopefully that will be dropped soon.
So that will be that. That is really, really great news. Of course, the other news and the other story that happened this week that we wanted to just to chat about was the visit to Israel by the is it Ecuadorian?
The Ecuadorian president is in Israel, and I know many people might be thinking, you know, Ecuador, you know, how important are they in the grand scheme of things? But we have seen over the last couple of decades South America being quite hostile to Israel, and it looks like the temperature there certainly is changing. The president has been in Israel. He has said before he wants to bring or move his embassy to Jerusalem, which of course is extremely important for Israel, because that is our capital. That makes a big statement. But yesterday in his meeting with Prime Minister Bennett, he said that Ecuador will now be voting with Israel at the United Nations. Now, this explains why these visits, no matter what the size or impact of the country is, because the more and more of these countries that take a stand in Israel's favor at international institutions like the United Nations, the more we can break those extremely hostile blocks. Another great story coming in this week is with Russia being voted out of the United Nations Human Rights Council, Czech Republic will be replacing them. And that is a country very friendly to Israel. And that is a country probably with the highest record in the EU of standing up for Israel and voting against anti-Israel resolutions and criticism. So it looks like that could change. And who knows what could happen on the African continent? We do see an increase in the warming of ties with African countries and Israel. Durko, I hope you are paying attention. And this is very important as the AU next year wants to, South Africa next year rather, wants to go to the AU and get Israel's observer status absolved. But you know, for those who are very critical of Israel and the BDS, and I know we think that the whole world is against us sometimes, it turns out not so much. There are friends out there.
Well, what are you finding on your trip to Helsinki?
Well, first of all, the people are very warm, and there isn't a hostility to Israel. If there are incidents of anti-Semitism, there are, in quote-unquote, traditional, you know, what we know of in the past, but they're very few and far between. There is a big, big Christian support for the state of Israel here. You know, it's unlike any other Scandinavian country like Sweden, which has demonstrated hostile elements before. But yeah, really rather friendly.
Absolutely amazing. And it really is fascinating to see that sometimes we do think that the world either love us or hate us, and the reality is most probably don't care either way. Rolene Marks, good luck for all your talks on Sunday. Have a fantastic weekend, and we look forward to hearing much more about it.